On this, the 28th day of April, 2022, from the Lucy Coleman Studio in Los Angeles, California, this is PJ, your internet pastor, saying hello to all my friends out there. I hope that my greeting you finds you in good health as well as in good spirits. I got up this morning and I had a cup of coffee and a piece of toast, which is my regular routine, and a banana. Okay, so I'm starting to eat healthier, and I was thinking about a conversation that I had yesterday. I couldn't get it out of my mind because the conversation was with a dear friend of mine who is steeped into fundamentalist evangelicalism, and he can't find his way out. And he went on to tell me about how many overseas missions of helping people in Haiti and all of that. And it made me think back to years ago. I had a friend of mine, and his church was in the midst of the inner city, in the midst of it. And he had recently transferred in his denomination from California to a large inner city in Ohio. And I was pleased when I went to visit him because his church was in the midst of the project. As a matter of fact, right across the street from the projects, where people would call the worst of our society would live. Many, many, many black folk that are living in poverty are still there, and living conditions are terrible, to say the least. Well, the reason that I'm having this talk with you is because I believe that we have an obligation, first of all, to take care of ourselves where we are before we try to take care of our brothers over the waters, especially in this country, in America. When you see people suffering in America, you should think about their suffering and how to alleviate that. I got up this morning and I was drinking my coffee and I was listening to some of my great music, and I said, oh my goodness, don't I have that number on, and my sound is drifting, I apologize. The system does that, but I'm going to keep on going. I don't want to lose my thought here. I want to play a number by Keith Green. Keith is gone. He's transitioned on to the other side. But when he was here, he made some music that was just, for me and my spirit, out of this world. And I want to read some of the words to you, because I have the album and I have a CD of it. And I'm going to play the CD, but I want to find it, if I can find it. Oh, my goodness. You know, I should always have my records ready to give that, but no, I want you to listen to Keith, because listen to what he's saying about what he's saying is where my faith is today. And I'm pausing and I'm hesitant because I want you to listen to the words of the song. And then after I played the song, we'll come back and we'll analyze it, and we'll see what's absolutely correct about this and what's absolutely incorrect about how this church, and yesterday's webcast was, I think, a fine webcast. It was entitled Love for Sale. Love for Sale. That is what the Christian church had become. Love is for sale. The books, the money, the ministries, send your money, give me what you have, making the so-called leaders of the organization rich men living on a level. And listen, all it takes is just a little brains to think. Often I ask God, what do you want me to talk about on these webcasts? What do you want? The same thing that he called me to talk about way back in the day. This music that I'm playing for you was recorded. Let me see. It has to be on this album cover somewhere back in the 70s. Let me see if I can find it. Oh, and I'm sorry for doing this. I should have it all keyed up and ready, but that's what I do. I step in the studio and I do it, and I don't make any apologies about it. I didn't have it queued up, but it was back in 1970s, early 70s is when this record was made. And he was disliked by many people in organized Christianity. They said that his hair was too long because he wore his hair like a hippie. He ministered like he was a Jewish fella that came to know God. God just called him out, just like God called me out. I have a house guest coming to spend a couple of days with me here. And when he grew up in Belize, he belonged to a Christian organization, and the leader of that organization had this album. And my friend Wayne that came by to visit me didn't know that I had his music. I said, I have all of Keith's music. And I said, of all of the people that say that they love God, know God, this man I listened to because he made more sense than all of the other rigmarole that you hear. Yes, he died in a tragic, we would say, a tragic plane incident. His number was up. He did what he was supposed to do. And God, in his gracious, majestic way, took him out, took a few of his children with him, another fine Christian family that was going to move down to Texas, where they had bought a parcel of land and they were going to do ministry. It was like they were breaking off from the, and I want you to listen to me, people, because you aren't listening enough. You haven't gotten it yet. And if you don't get it now, you never will. Let me try to put it to you in plain language. The faith in God that God wants you to have is a faith that I believe he would want every human being on the planet to have. Albeit, he is not going to address every human being on the planet from every country, from every region, from all the various cultures, ideologies, and all of that. God is not going to lump it all into one way of believing in him and say, if you don't all believe like a group of Americans believe in the Northern Hemisphere, if you don't believe like them, then I'm going to disown you. I'm not going to have anything to do with you. As a matter of fact, I'm going to thrust you into a burning hell if you don't believe the story that the missionaries that come to these lands on wooden ships share with you. And they're going to hold a cross in front of them and have a switchblade in the other hand. And if the witch doctors or the chief, whatever they call the religious people of the other faiths, don't embrace it, we're going to cast you all into a literal burning pit or tell you that your soul is going to go there. I do not believe that story, because that would be putting your faith and your belief in a tyrannical deity who is not only unfair and unjust in his dealings with creation, and there are so many of us roaming on the planet Earth right now, I cannot fathom in my mind that God could ever do that. Now, I'm going to let that ring, because it cannot be important, not while I'm doing a webcast. See, there's nothing more important than me getting this message out to you. So I want you to listen to a man that is going to, this I think was one of the finest, gospel, break it down into words with modern music than I had heard. And in the 70s, when he first came out, the churchmen in the evangelical church was trying to bar him from the churches. And this is where rock and roll music had transitioned over into the modern day church. And I knew that it was rock and roll, and I liked the beats because I came up on the beats, but I couldn't announce to the church and say, now this is what I like, because a lot of them were into On a Hill Far Away Stood an Old Rugged Cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. You see, the old rugged cross music. I didn't want to come in conflict with them, but I played this in my home, bought all of his music, and I want to share this number with you. And it's a simple number, because the man that was speaking with me yesterday over the phone said, you know what my people have done? He called the people in the church that he leads his people. He doesn't have any people. No pastor has people. When I was pastoring in church, I never used that title, my people. I would say the people that attend the vet, I'd like to believe this, because this is what I teach. And if they don't believe this, what are they doing coming here? Get up, go out, go to a place where you can find somebody that you can believe and you can follow. That's why when you look at our churches in the inner city, most of them are dead, gone, old people. And they found somebody that can speak loud, holler, and keep the people emotional and got them going from here to there. You need to play some old Keith Green. Keith Green. Now, I want you to listen to every word that he is saying in this marvelous song. To obey is better than sacrifice, because this man was telling me about the orphanages and the schools that his people give money to support. But I'm thinking of pastors that's in the inner city and got all this stuff around you, and you're sending your money to another country, but you won't help the people that's right in front of you. To me, that's not only hypocritical, it goes right along with Keith Green. To obey is better than sacrifice.
I don't need your money, I want your life. And I hear you say that I'm coming back soon, but you act like I'll never return. You thrive on milk, but reject my meat, and I can't. hearts of fire, not your prayers of ice. And I'm coming quickly to give back to you according to what you have done. According to what you have done.
He's going to come back and give to us according to what we've done. You see, we are so quick to talk about how we trying to do this and trying to do that to justify our behavior when we're teaching tithes, which is not taught in the New Testament at all for believers. You're threatening the people that say that they love God with all kinds of things. And I'm telling you, the word faith practitioners do it. And it appears that most of our pastors now are going over to the word faith doctrine. My books, I'm not going to go into the books again, but I have all the background books on that stuff. And I've read up on it. E.W. Kenyon, read up on him. Study him. And I'm going to tell you another guy that you should listen to and pay very close attention to him, because his spirit is so much like mine. And I want you to get out of this idea that if they don't swallow the same things that you swallowed, that the medicine that they're taking is not sufficient. You see, because that's what evangelicalism does to you. It teaches that if you don't follow the exact way that everybody is going, then you, because that's the first thing that this guy that was speaking to me, trying to use on me, he said, this is what he said about me. He said, and I'm just waiting on material to do a webcast because I'm enjoying my life here. And sometimes I get up in the morning and I say, well, God, what do I talk about? Because I don't know what to talk about. I think I've said everything. But this guy just calls me out of the blue, and then when he asked me questions, I answered him, and he says, you're not, this is what he said, you're not the same man you were when you did the biblical exegesis in Romans. That's what he told me. I said, I am the same man. I'm John Coleman. I did the research. I put the sermon together, the videos. I did it all. I said, but I do not put my twist on anything in the Bible. Now, hear me what I'm saying. Keith Green was just singing about to obey is better than sacrifice. I want more than Sundays and Wednesday night. See, he said, you go to church on Sunday and you have your Bible study on Wednesday night and you think you've done it. See, that's sacrifice. Well, I went to church. Well, I'm feeding the poor. I got a ministry in Haiti and stuff like that. You got a ministry in your own damn backyard. Man, I remember when I started taking young men in my home to get them off the streets. I don't care whether they was gay, straight, or whatever they was. And people would tell me, they would say, oh, John, you got to be careful. Of what? What are they going to steal from you? If they need, man, do you know how many nice, fancy T-shirts have disappeared out of my T-shirt drawer over the years? I remember once Robert, my friend, gave me a great Kobe Bryant Laker T-shirt. They had him looking like a snake on there. And that was one of my favorite T-shirts. I don't know what happened to that T-shirt today. But one of the young men saw it and liked it a lot and took it. All right, now let's just keep it in the real. The young man stole it from me. I know of another young man that was in my home. I had bought a couple of pair of jeans, and he stole my white True Religion shorts. I know he did. I called him the day that he was put out of my house and told him, I know you have my jeans, but I'm not going to turn you in. I'm not going to do that. Why? Because he needed them, obviously, more than I did. And so I haven't suffered the loss of all things, but I've suffered the loss of having people stay with me short term. But I am obeying. And when you look at people that are in the church today, it's very rare that you would find them that they're going to feel. And especially during this day and age of homelessness in our inner cities. I was on this Zoom cast, and they were talking about how can we resolve homelessness. And I was saying to them, there's only one way to do it. You have to open your heart to people. Stop seeing them as smelly creatures that's going to mess up your house. I just had a walk-in shower placed in my home. Now, hey, check it out. I'm not bragging on anything, but I paid a good penny for that. I had to get the plumbing redone. I'm 78 years old, and whatever money I have coming in is a stipend of my savings to help me live. Well, I had a walk-in shower put in, state-of-the-art. And so when I have a young man come by and he needs a shower, step in there. I got enough soap in there. I got clean towels. Wash yourself down, brother. Bathe. And while he's showering, guess what I'll be doing? I'll be in my kitchen. If I have some potatoes and some vegetables. I'll make some home fries, make a nice little dish. Once he gets out of there, dries himself, put on his clothes, and I'll let him wear some of my clothes that are clean while I'm washing his in my washing machine and dry it in my dryer. Because I had those kinds of things when my wife was here, when my daughter was here. Now I'm living in basically a one-bedroom, a two-bedroom house, but the other one is my studio here. And I use things to minister to young men. And so when some church people, oh, you got to be careful because they'll kill you. And ain't no young dude going to kill me. Not if I wash his clothes. Not if I feed him. Not if I spend all those thousands of dollars to put a walk-in shower in there. Because I can sanitize it easier and keep it clean than him stepping all in my bathtub. And because I don't know what he's washing down the drain. I got one of those little overhead shower things where you can stand right under it and it'll just, I did that because I needed to have something where he could wash himself, clean himself. I'm in America. God has blessed me. Now, do you think that the average pastor, do you think that the average pastor will open up their home and do something like that and spend money for strangers and invite them to come and clean themselves up? And to take, no, they won't do it because they're selfish. See, and Keith Green just sung, it's better to obey God than to sacrifice. And you know what? I am fed up. Man, I can't believe after all these years, I'm still getting phone calls from people that call themselves Christians wanting me to change my message. I am not going to change it. I believe this is what God wants of all of his children. And I am grateful to God that I have just a few friends, just a few. You don't need a lot of friends. You don't need them. Because you see, I had friends, I thought, in the church that can invite me by to take a shower in their extra bathroom. But would they invite anyone in to do that? Would they invite someone? Would they invite a homeless family? Let's say a man and a woman and a child that's down in Skid Row till they get on their feet. I remember when I had two guys staying with me, Nicholas and JJ, and I had a computer in the hallway, an extra computer, and I have internet here in the house. And I had a couple of dress shirts, ties, slacks, and everything. And I said, okay, because what their duty was to get up every morning, get ready to go out there and hit the streets and look for a job. They looked it up on the internet, and I gave them bus fare. They got on the bus, and they went. I was teaching them how to vie in the city for something. Now, what they did with that is up to them. But I had to obey God. See, and in my obeying God, I had to provide a means for them, a way for them, a place for them. And that takes a lot of guts to do that. Now, if we are not obeying God when God puts that on our individual hearts, well, then there is something wrong with us. We have to obey God to that degree. Now, what I mean by that is the simple things of life. That's what I'm talking about. The very simple things of life. So, I'm the same person that I was. I'm yet doing what God instructed me to do. But because I will not affirm lying, because these pastors are lying. God never told any of us to give 10% of any of our money to an organized religious cause. If you want to desire to give your money, and listen, this one guy tried to talk to me, and he was saying, you go to 1 Corinthians, and there Paul tells you how to give. And I tried to explain to him, he was writing to people because the people in their group were starving. And the persons that affirmed God in the way that they affirmed them were being persecuted in the Roman Empire. I said, these people in America are not being persecuted for following their religion. We don't do that here. And then when I tried to espouse other people from different cultures, and he said this to me, and I quote, he said, did you know, because what I did, I said, are you listening? He said, yes. I said, good. And I had a Bible in my hand. Now listen to me. Don't jump to conclusions. Listen to what I'm going to tell you. I had a Bible in my hand, and I dropped it. Boom. He heard it hit the floor, and I took my, and I've done this before, I even done this in the church that I preached in years ago, and I stood on it, and I said, I'm standing on my Bible. I said, now, there's two ways that you can handle that. I am standing on the Word of God, or I am blaspheming the Word of God. Which one am I doing? And he called me of the devil. And I just said, man, you can't hurt God's will by standing on a book. I said, I am not Catholic in my mind. I am not going to hurt my soul and my conscience by doing anything that is abominable. Standing on the Bible, and this is what he said to me. If you did that in Iran or Iraq, on the Quran, they would kill you, John. Do you know that? And I had to say to the person, who do you think you're talking to? Of course they'd kill me. and they would be rightful in doing it, because that is what they believe about the Holy Quran. But here in this country, we are free to think on our own. And anyone with a logical mind knows that you don't stand on a person's most holy book. I use that as an example to let you know that there is nothing that I could do that could ever deface the God that I love and worship. And I love and worship the very same God that the Islamic culture loves and worship. It's the same God. Now, I'm not trying to preach a gospel of inclusion. I'm just telling you that it's the same God. And people respond the same way. If you adopt, oh, help me, Lord. If you adopt this disposition, these ideas, your culture as a person of faith would be far easier than following these hardline traditionalists who have arbitrarily and sometimes intentionally hucksuckled the word of God and made it business. That's why love for sale. They're selling love. And some folks are getting rich off of it. When love is to be shared and communicated through touch, through look. And man, you know what? The main thing that got me about that conversation that I had was when I told this person that I love myself, and he told me that we're not supposed to do that. We're only supposed to love God and hate the world and everything. And what is the world? Where did the world come from? God gave me a beautiful front lawn with white rocks on it and chopped up red wood. Plants, flags waving in the air, front door that's beautiful. That's worldly. Gave me a nice Apple computer, worldly. Gave me a nice chair to sit on, a leather couch that reclines when I hit a button. The world. I don't want to sit in an upright wooden chair. My back would be killing me. Worldly. When my mattress wears out, I order another one. I'm in a country where I can do that. Worldly. But yet the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, for all that is in the world is the lust of the heart, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's what the Bible says. And all of us in this country have worldly things. What kind of a car are you going to go and buy when you buy a car? Are you going to go and buy one that only has a front seat, no back seat? Are you going to buy one that got the windows all busted out? Are you going to buy one that doesn't have the right kind of catalytic converter on it? Huh? You're worldly. When you go and buy food, are you going to buy lettuce that's open to flies and maggots? Or are you going to buy stuff that's sanitized, sealed in very thick plastic bags? Hopefully, it was cleansed before you bought it. Worldly. You're of the world. And the Bible says, love not the world. Is it the same world that they were inclined to love or to hate 20 centuries ago, as opposed to where we are today? I want you to think with me. Think with me. I was trying to tell this man, I don't use the Bible as a man 20 centuries old. I am reading this book, which I believe is infused with the power of God. And I believe that every man from all over the planet. Let me just raise this idea since we're just talking, all right? And I want you to think with me. God help me. And if I'm coming against what God is saying, he'll kill me in time enough, and he will erase my name and obliterate it and all that. I believe that God knows exactly what he's doing when he has the people over the regions of the world worship and love what and who they can as a deity. And I'm not going to fight with that deity and try to get people to adhere to what I believe and cast them all into a burning pit because they don't believe like me. That's what I think an extremist is. I'm not an extremist. And I didn't want to be numbered with people that think like that. Because that's a dangerous group to be numbered with. Okay? So as I talk through this, I don't even know what I'm going to name this webcast. I've spoken enough, about a little over 37 minutes. I think you get my drift. Obey God. And please don't talk to me about what you've sacrificed. Because if I, look, you see all these sound bites on my website here? Each one is depicting what I've sacrificed. I understand I got brothers listening to me in the penal institutions because they listen to Pastor John, the internet pastor, me, because they aren't listening to these other guys. Some of these guys will be doing years in jail, years. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, brother, whoever you are, I love you. I love you. I even had some guy, well, you know, those guys in jail, they're going to be in there. You know what they're doing in there. Well, what do you expect them to do? What in God's name do you expect them to do? Locked up like cattle? Chattel? Moved into that lifestyle? Oh, they didn't have to do it. I didn't do it. See what I mean? I never spoke with men and women like that. They did what they had to do in order to survive. You ever live in a ghetto? You ever been there? And look at the way these people are responding in our streets today. Jumping people, beating them up, bashing them in the face. Our young people just tearing the fake hair out and tearing each other's clothes off of them. Young black men kicking other black men in the head, maiming them. What happened? Where's the church? I did a bunch of series. I did a series back in, I think it was 1995. It's on my YouTube page. And the title of the lecture, I may go up there and put the number one one on my site so you can go to YouTube and look at all the clips. How do you win a young man to come into the church? Because at that time in 1995, Dr. Levert from the LA Bible Training Center here in South Central Los Angeles in Watts, he along with Will Patton and some other people had put on a conference at a church down on Figueroa Street in Los Angeles, and I was invited as one of the guest ministers to speak on this forum. And I spoke on the forum, and my subject was, how do we win young black men with families to the church? You should watch that YouTube bunch of clips. I gave it to you in the reel right there. For my brothers that are in the penal institutions that's never seen that, for you, I will try to sometime today put those clips up and so that you can watch them. I hope I'm going to leave the John Tomlinson showcase clips up a while longer so that you can learn something about what a pimp would do to you, because they will practice pimpology on you. And that's why I get phone calls and people tell me that I'm going to bust hell. Why? I'm not going to hell. That kind of a burning, that kind of a threat is what the missionaries put on the island people and the African tribes when they chained them up and tried to take their ability to think away. You can't use that on me. I never did that to people, and it always looked strange to me. I didn't come out and combat it when I first started to preach because I didn't have a leg to stand on. Let me tell you why I said that. Before you go to Biola University, Talbot Theological Seminary, you got to sit down across the table from one of their people that question you. And they say, do you believe in the Trinity? I said, what do you mean? Do you believe in the God Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit? I said, yeah, I could handle that. I said, yes. Do you believe that the pastor is the head of the local congregation of the church? Yes, I can believe that. I can believe that. Do you believe that the Bible is the Word of God? I said, well, I read it. My family has read it. They believed it, I guess. I can believe that too. Yes, I don't read the Quran. I'm in this country. This is it. We welcome you to be a part of our institution then. Now, once I start studying this book deeper, 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 all the insights, and I see some things that are crazy that these people that they put in leadership are teaching, I challenge that. And since I've challenged it, since I am an intelligent person, I don't see nothing wrong with that. They let me in. But as I've grown and used my mind and thought, I don't believe that a demon has jumped on me and gotten in me. I think that I get better. That's why older people, the sages, the older people in every tribe, and that's all we are, we're members of a tribe, are the wisest because they've lived long enough to think through idioms, chasms, axioms, premises to come to solid, correct conclusions. When you're young, you don't take that time to do that. You're too busy trying to figure out how to make more money in this capitalistic society that our ancestors were dumped into. I'm not a stargazer, but I believe that if you take some time and glance up to the heavens and said, man, I look to heaven from whence cometh my help. Oh, yes, that's in the blessed word of God. And I believe it's also in the Holy Quran, the same thing, because different people of different cultures, of different lands, different times and different spaces have a God that they can reach, that they can commune with, that they can depend upon to come to their aid during any particular time of their lives. I'm glad that I call myself the internet pastor. I don't have to belong to a church, to a denomination, to a group of men that is trying to make money. Check it out. If every pastor that got all this money coming in did what I did, spoke the way I'm speaking, freed up people from the rudimentary foul virtues of foul cataclysmic religion, if they spoke against it, wouldn't it be nice if we can all sing what the world needs now is love, sweet love? And I'm not talking about love for sale. I'm not talking about that kind of love. Buy my book, buy my commentaries. Come to my conference, $300-$400 a ticket. Rent a hotel room. Bring your friends. Come and party with us. We got the big screen. You don't need to bring your Bible. Just come and have your wallet zipped up so nobody would take it. And you can jump all night, scream all night. We got secular singers singing sacred music with the new beat. Just come and get tied into it. Now, I could do that and worship God in that form if I wanted to, but I choose not to. And you see, that's the advantage that one has when they're free. Think for yourself. selves. Thank you for coming to my website, and thank you. Try to look at, they have a lot of clips of Keith Green all over the internet now on YouTube, and just listen to him sing, listen to his words, and you know where I'm coming from. You can judge me if you want, because that doesn't bother me. I'm not judging you. I like the way Jesus put it. You can tell a tree by the fruit it bears, right?